Welcome to the Third City Christian Church podcast. Today's message is The Gap, Part 6, recorded Sunday, February 11th, 2018. If you have a story about how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to podcast@thirdcitychristian.org. Now here's Scott with today's message.
We're in the sixth week of this study that we're calling The Gap, and if you've been around or been following, you know that we've been in the study of the book of Nehemiah, and we've been going through this statement and looking at this statement and saying it weekly, and the statement is this: I have a mission from God that motivates me and matters to someone else. I wonder if you'd say that with me, would you? I have a mission from God that motivates me and matters to someone else. That's what we're hoping that will come alive in you if it already isn't there. In 1968, Bobby Kennedy was running for the Democratic National Convention for their nomination for the party for president. And many of you know this, but Bobby really wanted to win the state of New York, and for obvious reasons. But he spent a lot of time in Spanish Harlem. And apparently in the 60s, Spanish Harlem was a place that rich white politicians would not go to. It was a very violent place. They wanted nothing to do with the challenges that they faced going into that situation. And he was there on a particularly hot day, and one of his advisors was noticeably uncomfortable being there, and he said to Bobby, "Bobby, why do we keep coming here?" And Kennedy's response was this: "Because when I'm here, I realize that my world is not the real world." And that's really what Nehemiah figured out, living in a palace hundreds of miles away from the city of his lineage, Jerusalem, a city that was in rubble, a city that had been decimated over 140 years of occupation from invading our armies. And he got word that the city was in trouble. People were trying to come back into Jerusalem. His relatives, they were trying to resurrect the city, but they were getting nowhere. And the biggest issue they faced was that there was no protective wall surrounding the city to keep enemies out. And so it just got to working on him. It got into his soul that he needed to address the issue. He needed to do something about it. And so as you've gone through this series with us, you know that he prayed and he fasted and he went to the king of Persia and he asked for help, and the king offered help. And with this conviction, he went back into Jerusalem. He started the rebuilding process. But it wasn't easy, because for 140 years it failed. Now, last week Josh talked to you about in chapter 4 about how when you look out the window of your life and you look at your community, what do you see? It was a great image, I thought. What are you responsible for? You look out the window of your life and you say, "This is my city. I have responsibility for the people I go to school with. I have responsibility to the people I work with. I have responsibility to my family who lives in this community, Grand Island. I have responsibility in the larger world to be a Christian and to make a difference in the world." And so hopefully you are challenged by that. What section of your city are you willing to take responsibility for? And so, like I said, for 140 years, there'd been no success in restoring Jerusalem. And it took Nehemiah how long to build the walls? Do you know how long? 52 days. 52 days to do the impossible. And why could he do that? Because God's hand was in it. That's why. Yet anyone who knows anything about doing great things know that there's going to be setbacks. There's going to be strongholds. There's going to be challenges. And today's message is really about staying the course. Today's message to you is about handling adversity. I guess in a word, it's about perseverance. And so if you have your Bible, turn to Nehemiah chapter 6, and you can follow along on the screen if you don't have your Bible, but I always suggest you bring your Bible. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. When word came to Sanballat Tobiah, Geshub the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I'd not set the doors or the gates. Sanballat and Geshub sent me this message. Now listen to the phraseology. I'm going to refer back to this. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. Take note of that word, Ono. But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I'm carrying on a great project. Listen to this phraseology. I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message. Each time I gave them the same answer. Then on the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was, listen to this, an unsealed letter. Now, why would he do that? I think he worked for the FBI. I think he wanted there to be something leaking out, that somehow something was happening that people need to be worried about. And so it was written, it's reported among the nations that, and Geshem says it's true, whoever Geshem is, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and that therefore you're building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become the king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There's no king, and there's now a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the real king. So come, let us meet together. Now listen to how he responds to this. Look, nothing like that. Nothing like that. What you're saying is happening. You're just making it up in your head. They're all trying to frighten us, thinking, well, their hands will get weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, strengthen my hand. Now, here's the thing. When you're on a mission, especially when you're on a big mission, a mission from God, there are going to be challenges. And you just got to know that going in. You cannot assume that there's not going to be pushback on something important like that. Nehemiah had rallied the troops. They'd built the walls. They were in the fourth quarter, okay? It was coming down. They had victory in their hands. But like in any great fourth quarter of a game, there's always a Tom Brady and a Gronk that have one more shot, right? Did you watch that? How many of you thought they're going to complete a pass? I mean, I'm an optimist. Me and Cheryl, we're in. Tom Brady, more greatness for our guy, right? Sorry, I had to say it. But anyway, he didn't deliver because, hey, the Eagles, they knew. You got to be diligent. You got to persevere. This game's not over till it's over. And that's the same case with Nehemiah and the wall builders. And so what can we learn about perseverance from Nehemiah? A lot of things, but here's a few. First of all, you got to expect an oh no moment. Remember the phraseology? They wanted him to meet them on the plains of Ono? Well, I'm just going to call it oh no. Because momentum is building, and you have blessing, and you have resources, and then oh no. Oh no. Then your boss calls you in, and you know, things are going pretty well at work, you think, until he says, 2 weeks. Oh no. Or you feel good, you go for your annual physical, have no reason to be concerned, but then the doctor calls you back and says, hey, we need to talk about something. Oh no. See, because there's always obstacles in life. There's always hurdles that we have to face. And when you're on mission from God especially, you've got to believe you're going to be confronted with oh no. In our announcement segment earlier, you saw a promo for the Global Leadership Summit, which is a tremendous event. We hosted it last year. We're going to host it again in this coming August. And I just can't, I can say it 100 times, and it's not going to be enough unless you believe me. And that is that this is a great event for you. I mean, it's going to help you. If you're a person who's a leader in your location, whether it's your educational location or your workplace or in your family, this is a great event. But one of the things they do at the Global Leadership Summit is they show these stories. They call them grander vision stories. And I wanted to show you one of those today because I think it's really really effective in helping us to see how Ono hits and what we can do with it. So watch this.
If you've ever seen a West Texas storm, they blow in suddenly, rolling clouds of dust, the lightning strikes and the thunder claps. It's powerful stuff. You know you're in a storm when you're in a West Texas storm. When I first got into business building homes in Lubbock, Texas, it was all about the game, and the scorecard was money. Unfortunately, real estate collapsed. That was the very moment that I knew all of the money that I had made was going to go away. My wife of 22 years had divorced me at that time. Those were the darkest times. I lost it all, beyond all.
Dad had gone broke and left Lubbock at the time. Over the years, he and I started talking about this idea of building affordable homes. He would be the sales half and I would be the building half. When he came back to join me, I could tell that he had found something a little different. He was on a journey of faith.
I said, hey, I really blew this the first time. I don't want to do this like that again. So I said, let's commit what we're doing here to the Lord.
We committed to give the first fruits of our home building business, which are our land profits, away. We experienced growth and his blessing almost immediately.
And within a couple of years, we were building and selling more homes than any other builder in this market.
One of the years, we gave about 82% of our net profits away. And then the Lord began to change our thinking and ask us, it's really great that you're giving this money over here to these ministers, but you work with families. What do they know about my love for them?
Exodus 19:6 says, although the whole world is mine, I want to establish a kingdom of priests and make a holy nation. And I remember thinking, am I a priest? Can I be a minister in business, in the marketplace?
There was a specific point in which Rick had to make a decision. Am I gonna stay in control of this, or am I gonna let the Lord have control of this? Does God own this business, or do I own this business? He still had the matter to contend with of, well, how are the people gonna view this? Not all of them are believers, but in the end, the day came, and he stood before the company, and he said he had given ownership of the company to the Lord. Let's see where he wants to take us.
We just began to make a place for God's kingdom right in our business for the purpose of transformation.
We've built homes for more than 7,000 families. Each home we build gives us an opportunity to interact with over 100 businesses and contractors. We view the businesses and contractors as trade partners. Besides dealing with them honestly, paying them regularly, we seek to help them grow their own businesses through loans, providing startup capital, and offering business mentoring. We view building each home with the highest level of quality while keeping the costs affordable as a huge part of our ministry to the families who place their trust in us to build their home. Just before handing over the keys, we present each family with a Bible with their name inscribed on it. We have over 120 employees, and we made the decision to turn our family-owned company into an employee-owned one so they could enjoy the fruit of their labor into their retirement. We developed an intentional relational leadership style where we're looking at the person as a whole. We're actively seeking to grow our employees personally and professionally. We also hired a team dedicated full-time to take care of our employees and our trade partners. God has allowed us to live a life we didn't even know to dream, and we're excited about where he's going to lead us next.
A leader's job here isn't to build homes, but to build people. And nothing has impacted me as much professionally, personally, and spiritually as this place. And that's ridiculous that somebody could say that about a business.
I am just a testament to what can happen here because people were working on me, refining me, and ultimately transforming my life and making it better for not just me, but my family.
We talk about ministry in the marketplace. Whatever business you're in, that's the Lord's business. Just give Him that business. Go bloom where you're planted and perform ministry right there.
I love that story for 100 reasons, but what I wanted to point out today is how Ron Bettenbaugh hit this big oh-no in his life. His wife left him, the economy collapsed and collapsed his business with it. And that was when he just said, I'm going to give this to the Lord. I'm going to let the Lord be in, His hand be in this. And it changed everything for him. And so we need to know that oh-no is going to hit. And the question is, are you willing to make sure that whatever business you're in, it's the Lord's business? Now, here's another lesson from this great builder of the fourth century, Nehemiah. And I love how he deals with oh-no. Don't go down to their level. Did you hear that in the scripture? He said it several times. I'm carrying on this great project. I'm not going to come down to your level. I'm not going down. There's always going to be someone that pulls you down. Have you figured that out yet? Whenever you're doing something that's bigger than yourself, whenever you're on target with God in your life, whenever you start to change the trajectory of your life by turning it over to God, I promise you, there's going to be somebody, maybe a lot of people, we're going to try to bring you back down to their level. It just happens. It's life. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't reassess. You know, maybe you're on some kind of mission. You think God's prompting your heart to do something that's for Him, and yet He's closing doors, and so you have to go a different direction. Or sometimes decisions are just made for you, and they're out of your control. And it's okay for you to go through a different door if one closes. I mean, you need to be wise about that. And here's the thought, though. You got to make certain that you're running to and not from something. Like, people say this to me occasionally, hey, I think God's leading me this direction. And I'll talk to them about it for a few minutes, and I'll go, no, that's not God speaking to you. You're just trying to run from something. You're just running from a bad marriage. You don't want to put any time into it. You're just running from a job that right now you hate, and you don't want to change the way you work. You're running from something. It's never right to run from something when you need to deal with it. And so maybe you're thinking this, well, I don't even know what mission God wants me to have. I mean, I'm still struggling with what does God want from me? What could He ever do with me? I'm not Ron Bettenbaugh. I don't have the resources to build homes in Grand Island or whatever, you know. Look, I would just say to you, if that's you, start simple. We're 6 weeks from Easter. Let somebody be your mission. Maybe it's a neighbor. It's someone that you work with every day that you know that they need a church family. It might be a family member who you know is far away from the Lord or who needs to pick it up, you know, and get back to church because they've been out for a while. I don't know. Don't get distracted. Make it about somebody. Make it about a person, and then make them your mission. And do whatever you need to do in a fun way to get them to come to church with you on Easter Sunday. But whatever you do, do it for Jesus. Work hard for Jesus because He's worth it. I love working here. I love driving down 13th Street every day. I get to pull in and work with some of the greatest people on earth when I get here. And then we get to serve some of the greatest people on earth when we do church, in whatever ways we're doing church that day. I love what I do. But you know what? We can't stop. The love of God for people didn't end with me or it didn't end with you. There's still somebody out there that needs the love of Jesus. We got to be on mission. That's our mission. You know, as we come to the end of Uncommon, unless we give a little bit more, we're going to have debt. So I would just say to you, let's be on mission. On March 25th, let's do what we can. And whatever you're able to do so that you can help your church move beyond, be that person. Be generous. Because we can't be complacent. If we're complacent, our goose is cooked. We're in trouble. Craig Groeschel says, the greatest threat to future success is current success. And, you know, it'd be easy for us to say, oh, you know, look what God's done here over the last, you know, 50 years, 51 years. Look at how he's grown this little church from a house church to a church that now is a pretty substantial church in our community. Wow, you know, we could start feeling pretty good about ourselves. And I think we should feel good about ourselves from the standpoint that we see God working. We see how powerful God is and what he can do. That's what we should feel good about. But we haven't reached the finish line yet. Are you still breathing? Some of you I'm questioning, but most of you, are you still breathing? Take a breath. If you're breathing, God has something for you to do, and people are worth it, so make that your cause. Now, by the way, sometimes what happens is we go on cruise control, or we start to run from something, and we're in a bad place. So let me just ask you a few questions to help you evaluate where you are right now. Here's the first question. Am I committed to the cause God is calling me to, even if I don't get the credit? Because you know your heart's right with God when you're not looking for the accolades, when you know it's not about you, but it's about someone that God is reaching out to. And are you okay with that? Here's the second thing. Does my family believe in the vision, or am I making them resentful where I am? Now, this might sting a little bit, but if you're losing your family because you're on this new mission, you're missing the point. Whatever God calls you to, the project is always about people, and so the most important people in your life are the people who are closest to you. That would be your spouse. That would be your children. That would be your parents. And so you can't sacrifice those relationships for some other mission. Now, here's a third thing. Will my pain lead to progress for someone else? In other words, I can take the heat if it means someone else will find healing. I can handle criticism if progress can be had by someone else, because it's worth it when God's in it. But if God isn't in it, you got to find out why God's not in it. Here's another thing that we need to do. Nehemiah teaches us this lesson when we're on mission for God. You got to rise above the noise. You got to rise above the noise, because when you're doing something for God, I promise you, there's going to be noise. You remember how it happened with Nehemiah? The wall builders are all but done. They got to put some doors and gates in place, and then comes the noise. The junior high bully shows up. Sanballat's his name. He ridiculed the Jews in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria. He said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifice? Will they finish in a day? No, it took 52 days. Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble? Yeah, they did. Burned as they are. You just see all the people around them, you know, all these people. Oh, you go, man. You go, boy. You know, you can just see how the crowd at the lunchroom in the junior high starts getting in on it, you know, and they're all cheering him on because he's got something going on. And then it gets worse because he brings in his sidekick. Every junior high bully has a sidekick. It's the little kid that would get beat up if he didn't have the junior high bully, right? So every puny little sidekick, you know, like for instance, like Saruman had Worm Tongue and Dr. Evil has Mini-Me. Well, he's got Tobiah, the Ammonite. And he says, yeah, what are they building? Fox jumps on that thing, it'll collapse. And everybody goes, yeah, man, that's pretty funny. You hear what he said? Fox jumps on it. That's cool, you know. When you step forward in obedience, when you do something that God calls you to do, when God lays something on your heart, he lays a person on your heart, and you start to think, I'm going to reach out in the name of Jesus to help that person for the sake of his name, for the sake of the gospel, and you stand up in that moment, they're coming after you. The Sanballats, the Tobias of the world, they're going to mock you. They're going to discourage you. They're going to say, hey, what are you wasting your time with on them? Why are you doing that? You get that to happen. It happens. It'll be Christians sometimes. I mean, I've had selfish Christians try to deter me from from moving forward in things that I thought God wanted us to do as a church. And you can't fall for that stuff. You got to keep your eyes on the prize, and the prize is always the people that God's trying to reach. That's the prize. So don't fall for it. Now notice what Nehemiah doesn't do. He doesn't volley back at them. He doesn't argue with them. He doesn't throw ridicule back at them, because men and women of God, we don't ridicule each other. We don't do that. What he does is he says, look, I'm doing a good work. I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. I can't come down. He prays, strengthen my hands. He understood something that Paul said in the New Testament. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the evil rulers, the authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, against the evil spirits in the heavenly place. In other words, he's saying there is an enemy lurking, and it's not the faces that you face every day. It's the ones behind the scenes that are pushing that behavior forward. Our staff is going through something called Rooted. It's a study that we're doing together. It's pretty intense. And we're in week 5. And in week 5, we're talking about strongholds. And we're learning about what it means to have an enemy that fights against the work of God in the church and in our lives. And I can tell you, I mean, this is just personally speaking, it's been a hard week for me. A lot of strongholds have surfaced, some that I've owned and have to let the Lord break through in my life. It's been a great experience. It's been very hard, because there is an enemy. There's an enemy of the church. And if we don't understand that there's an enemy that's fighting against the church, we will be susceptible to his schemes and ploys. It says they plotted together, and they wanted to fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against us. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet the threat. Nehemiah chapter 4, 7 through 9. And then it says in chapter 6, 6, but I prayed, strengthen my hands. That's the next thing I want to say. As a matter of fact, this is the action point for today. Pray and post a guard. That's what Nehemiah does. When he faces the adversary, when he's being pushed against, he does those two things, very simple things. It's what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? It's the night before his crucifixion. Jesus has the last meal with his disciples on the Passover meal. And then he and three of his disciples, his core disciples, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? And then Jesus said to the three, he said, what? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Jesus understood this. There's an enemy, and he's strong, and he's real. I need you to watch. I need you to pray. That's my action point to you today. I don't know what God's calling you to do. Maybe you have some really difficult hurt, habit, or hang-up that's messing up your life. It could be in the form of addiction. It could be a form of some sin that you will not let God take control of. So I would say to you to do this. Pray. And then get somebody to help you keep watch. Talk to someone who can encourage you, someone who can pray for you, someone who will help you take the next step. For you, it might be some big thing that God's laying on your heart. Somebody told me two or three days ago that God's been just impressing on them. They need to start a women's Bible study on a certain topic. They said, I just think the Lord wants me to do this. And I was really excited for them. And I'm also thinking, okay, great. I'm glad you're praying about it. Start getting other people involved. Get people watching for you. Pull them in. Because if you're going to do a great work for God, you're going to need all the help you can get. And I love you. I'm rooting for you. I know you can do it. So let's be on mission from God. Let's be motivated to move beyond ourselves, because it matters. It matters to someone else. Lord, we come to you now, and we thank you for calling us to a greater purpose than our own. We thank you for the courage that we get out of the scripture to see how you worked in normal, everyday people to do extraordinary things. Nehemiah certainly fits that bill. And Lord, I pray now as we move into this time where we share the common meal, the Lord's Supper together, that you'll help us break down our sin. You'll point out very clearly in our hearts where the strongholds lie so that we can at least be aware and turn them over to you in confession. And then as we confess these strongholds to you, you give us clarity to move forward with strength. And Lord, bring to mind someone who we can bring into our story, who can pray for us and encourage us so that we're not doing this alone. But Lord, we thank you for making all this possible through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Third City Christian Church podcast. Sunday service times are 8 a.m. traditional, and our contemporary services are at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information about Third City Christian Church, send email to podcast@thirdcitychristianchurch.org, call us at 308-384-5038, or visit us online at thirdcitychristian.org.